Okay. Thanks for coming. My name is Jens Ohlich. I'm from the KS Computer Club, and I want to talk a few words about internet censorship in China. And during the last couple of days, when I said to friends that I'm going to talk on this topic, they asked me, "Well, how come? What's your interest in China?" Because actually, my university degree training is in Korean, so I can understand and read Chinese to a very, very limited extent. I can read a few characters, not even kindergarten level. But actually, I come from a different language and from a different culture. But as with many software projects, everything starts with scratching a personal itch. In my case, it was a friend of mine who moved to China recently, and we wanted to keep in touch, and we wanted to communicate. And I wanted him to read my weblog, being the egocentric person I am, and I found out that he couldn't. I remembered that they had something going on in China with blocking websites and blocking communication there, but I didn't know the hard facts, and so we started to research. I read a lot of papers. There is one paper that I can recommend to all of you that is from Reporters Sans Frontières, Reporters Without Borders. They have a nice report on the state of internet censorship in China from August this year, and there's another paper from the Open Net Initiative. I think some of the Cambridge people that are also attending the Congress might know this paper, because in part it was done in Cambridge. So a lot of what I'm going to say is based on these two papers, and another part is based on our own experimentation with friends that are back in China. And because I wanted to show some aspect of internet censorship, that also meant that I had to gather some data. And, well, I hope you can appreciate what I went through for this presentation, because it meant that I had to go through the whole installation of Ethereal, the network sniffing tool, on the phone, on the mobile phone, to China with a diehard Windows user. And I so don't want to see my mobile phone bill after this Congress, but let's hope it's worth it. And actually, the data, that is just one slide, but it's my favorite slide in the whole presentation, reached me today from Shanghai. And I think it's a neat aspect of how internet censorship is done in China. So, what about the state of internet in China in general? There are currently around 80 million internet users in China, which is a pretty, pretty impressive number. Think about it, that's about the size of the population of Germany. But that's only 6.2% of the population of China. So this is a major difference when you compare it to countries like the US or countries like Germany, France, Western countries, or even countries like South Korea or Singapore. In these countries, the internet user the internet user percentage is around 50% at least of the whole population. And well, this number tells us that for the vast majority of all Chinese users, the internet is simply irrelevant. So keep this in mind when you have your nice ideas about changing the whole world and changing the whole system and making China democratic through the internet. For more than 90% of all Chinese, this just doesn't exist. Short timeline on the internet in China. What I found funny is that it actually started in Germany, in the University of Karlsruhe. There's one of my oldest O'Reilly books I keep in the shelf. It's Dictionary of Electronic Mail, and it has the internet email addresses for China. This is a book from the 80s or something. And it gives you the University of Karlsruhe in Germany as the internet contact for China. And on the, September 20th, 1987, the first email was sent out of China. And then nothing happened for a long time. And 1994, they got the first permanent connection to the internet. It was actually a big issue, because permanent connection to the internet would mean hooking up to the American networks. That's actually what they wanted to do, the Chinese. They wanted to hook up with American research networks, and there was a lot of political trouble behind the scenes, like, should we allow the enemies to hook up to the internet? But from 1995 to today, we see a rapid growth of the internet in China, and the internet, at least in the big cities like Shanghai and Beijing, it is very influential, usually among the young people, among the people that can afford that kind of expensive toy. And to put everything in perspective, maybe you think that internet usage in China is the same as here. Well, it's not. Of course, it's nice to have the whole world at your keyboard, but most Chinese users, they tend to hang around Chinese websites and Chinese communities and read Chinese news. Well, it's actually the same in Germany as well. Most German users tend to read German news sites, but because the language gap between German and English is not that bad as it is with Chinese and English, it may seem a bit more international to you, but there are these big portal sites, Sina.com, Soho.com, and 163.com, and actually the whole life on the Chinese internet goes around these portal sites and some chat rooms and everything. And recently also the a hybrid mix of text messaging with mobile phones and using the internet has become very popular. Maybe a bit about the last name, 163.com. I will not even try to pronounce it, because I know I will mess up with the tones in the Chinese language anyway. But 163 means in Cantonese, have a good journey. So there's a lot of that in Chinese internet slang, because if you have to type fast, you tend to use abbreviations. And so either you make puns based on numbers that sound almost the same as the Chinese characters, or well, if you type a Chinese word on your keyboard, you usually use the English transcription, and then a window pops up and says, "Oh, do you mean this character?" And then they say, "No, next one," and you have to choose, and you get closer to the character until you finally get it. So in internet slang, people have a tendency to pick the first character that is pronounced like that, even if it has a totally different meaning. For instance, a lead user, a user that knows his way around the internet, used to be in Chinese translated a great knight. Yeah, but the Chinese character for knight is not so common and won't pop up as the first choice. The first choice is actually shrimp. So nowadays, people that hang out in the internet very often are called shrimps, because it's the first character that has the same pronunciation, and it makes a lot of sense, because shrimp has a bent back, and if someone looks at the screen a lot, resembles a shrimp in a lot of ways. Okay, this was the positive numbers, and now the other numbers, as I would call it. There are currently more than 30,000 Chinese officials working on monitoring and censoring the web. And according to the numbers from Reporter Sans Frontières, there are currently 61 internet users in prison for criticizing the government publicly. You probably heard of the case of one internet user that goes by the nickname of Stainless Steel Mouse. She even made it in the press in the West. There are really a lot of bizarre cases. One of my favorite is when the party assembly for the Communist Party in China was prepared, one user in a public chat room had the idea, tongue in cheek, of course, well, let's go to the Tiananmen Square, the Square of Heavenly Peace, and hand out the Communist Manifesto to everyone, just to remind people that this manifesto ends with "Workers of the world unite," and you have nothing to lose but your chains. Well, she actually went to prison for that, and I think it's an interesting idea that a communist government will put you in prison for handing out the Communist Manifesto. But that's one of the absurd things that happen in China nowadays. Okay. Many people have a rough idea about internet censorship in China, and they say things like, this site is banned in China, or it won't go through the great firewall, blah, blah, blah. But it's very, very hard to make exact statements about what is done, how it is done. Although the Chinese government openly admits that it's doing internet censorship, of course they won't publish a list of banned URLs. And so you just have to guess. This is what happened with me over the last few months when my friend wrote me instant message like, can you have a look at that website? Is it down? Because all I get is 404. And I said, no, I can see it in my browser. Well, damn, must be banned again. And I would even say that it's impossible to research what sites are banned. One good thing about it is because there are government officials working on this, they won't work as hard, and maybe they won't put as much energy into it. So sometimes, for a strange reason, a lot of things are still possible that you would not have dreamt of. And sometimes I think they don't care. They don't really want to hit a specific target. A lot of times, if they can hit a lot of similar websites that are in a foreign language anyway, they will ban it just for the sake of it. And a few days later, it will be online again. Google is maybe the best example. It's absolutely not predictable whether you could use Google today in China or not. When we tried today, my friend quipped, maybe as a Christmas present, they turned off internet censorship for Google or for the big search engines, because the same search keywords he used and got him shot off the internet earlier, they went through and produced all the signs like visit the Free Tibet Initiative and information about Falun Gong, etc. It's really not predictable how they ban it. What is known is that there is some kind of censorship infrastructure in China, and that the whole network connection is built around that. So before your TCP/IP traffic goes to a different country, it must pass that censorship infrastructure. There is no way around it. There is no ISP in China that can offer a leased line to, say, the US or to Europe without going through that censorship infrastructure. Okay, what gets banned? I talked about that a bit. Of course, the big regional conflicts like Taiwan and Tibet, they get banned. All Falun Gong material, because it is regarded as a criminal cult by the Chinese government. A lot of the things that you would get away with censoring in the West as well, mostly pornography and gambling. I find it interesting that they that think gambling is such a problem. But after I heard that, it must be something culturally different. A lot of Chinese like to play the game of mahjong, and many have gambled their whole houses, and gambling seems something like a national pastime. So they crack down on gambling sites very hard, and pornography as well. And occasionally they censor foreign language resources like search engines and news. The BBC news site is an example. It gets censored in irregular. It gets censored irregularly, and Google gets censored from time to time. At the height of the SARS event, BBC News wasn't available in China. Then the government changed their policy of information, and then BBC News became available again. So, as I said, it's really not predictable. Well, how does it work? Technically, we must see the Great Firewall as a black box. There are a lot of speculations that you can find in the internet how it exactly works, but I tend not to believe any of them because they're all contradicting each other. The report from Reporters Sans Frontières claims that Cisco Systems delivered several thousand routers each worth more than 130,000 euros to the regime to build up the internet censorship infrastructure. May be true, and I'm happy to bash Cisco here on the slide, but there's also a contradicting report that claims that the whole internet censorship infrastructure was built by Nortel Networks from Canada. And what I've heard, there are actually security fairs, trade shows in Beijing, where there are a lot of Western companies that we all know and hate that are doing network appliances, routers and stuff like that. And they're all competing for this very lucrative market of internet censorship infrastructure in China. Well, they won't talk about it that openly to their Western customers, but they're all keen on making the deal with the government in China. Yes, but how does it work? So it's a black box, but there must be something that we can probe about it. Currently, it looks like there are many different methods that are used in China for censoring content, mainly on the web. There is probably also monitoring of emails going on, but it's apparently mostly about publishing documents on the web and banning these these documents. We had a small case of censorship in Germany, where one local district decided that some material should be kept off, and they were really not as creative as the Chinese censors, because they just decided to use one method of censorship, namely fake DNS replies. But there's so much more that you can use, and they use it all in China. You can ban IP numbers. That is done for a lot of the more important sites, like falungong.ca. It has the special privilege of having its IP number banned. There is fake DNS replies, so if you send a message to a DNS server requesting the IP address of a specific domain, it will give you something completely different. They tried that for Google as well. So when you typed in www.google.com, you got to Baidu, which is a Chinese search engine. And my absolute favorite is HTTP keyword manipulation. I don't know what they're using, but it must be expensive material, expensive routers, because they seem to look at all the TCP/IP traffic going through China, and regardless on what port, they just look, does it look like a HTTP request? And if yes, does it go to a search engine, and is the user requesting some of the bad keywords? Well, known bad keywords would be anything to do with the regional conflicts, Tibet, Taiwan, anything to do with Falun Gong, and maybe names of dissidents and so on. I will show you later how they use that. Okay, IP bans are done on www.tibet.com and falundafa.ca. It is sometimes done on the BBC news site, and what annoys me the most, it is also done on blogger.com and typepad.com. So that means that Chinese friends of mine can't read my blog, and this is the most annoying thing for me, at least. As I said earlier in this talk, random and unexplicable bans come and go, and I can only speculate on why that is. Maybe experimental setups, false positives, maybe they feel bored at work, I don't know. One friend of mine, he registered a domain in Sweden, and it was banned apparently because the probes showed the same characteristics as of a banned site, but there was no content on that site. It was just registered, and I don't know what they have against Swedish domains. And he came up with the theory that they just have to read through all the new applications for new domain names, but even if you have 30,000 policemen caring about censorship, that's a bit too extreme regarding the number of domain names that get registered every day. So, but anyway, after a few days, it worked flawlessly. It was just censored in the first few days. Okay, some sites are also blocked on a DNS level, and the first idea that comes to the mind of the hacker is, oh, I will use an American DNS server, or I will use a German DNS server, and I will trick them. It won't work, because they monitor the DNS traffic within China, within that censorship infrastructure, and they will happily fake all the DNS requests that go to foreign DNS servers as well. So you request an IP address from let's say, the DNS from German Telecom, which you think is not censored, and from nowhere you get a reply of a completely fake IP address. Okay, HTTP keyword blocking, I already said about that. Its main aim is to make search engines not a useful toy when retrieving internet content. Of course, most people, when they want to research something on the internet, they go to a search engine. We all do that. And they actually have two ways of dealing with the search engine problem. One solution is to talk to the management and say, well, wouldn't it be better if you adopt to our values we have in China, and maybe create a special version of your site that has all the correct material for Chinese users. This is what they did with Yahoo and Google, and they both happily created a censored version of the search engine for the Chinese market. And the other way is actually to fuck up the upstream search engine, Google. As I said, this is not predictable. They do it from time to time. And when the HTTP traffic looks suspicious, something very unusual will happen. Okay, this is one example of the first strategy I mentioned. This is Baidu.com, by far the most popular search engine in China. And maybe the overall design of the site is familiar to some of you. And maybe you can guess what company is behind Baidu. It is Google, of course. It's the, as I said, the largest Chinese search engine, and its largest competitor is Yusu.com, and that is owned by Yahoo. And both these search engines, they have the tendency to provide special content for the Chinese audience. I don't know if you can read that. Yeah, this is a search done for, I think it's for Falun Gong. Yeah, and what I found interesting is that it returns so many results, but when you look at the URLs, it's all ChinaNews.com, Zina.com, so it's all either official publications of the government of China talking about Falun Gong. You may imagine that they have a different approach to Falun Gong than most human rights groups have. Or it's in the case of Zina.com, of course it's a private company, but they had to sign contracts about the policies, how they publish material. So you get a lot of results searching for Falun Gong, but somehow all the articles tend to paint a rather negative picture of Falun Gong. And we tried it again in Pinyin, which is the, it's basically you write Chinese words in English letters. And it's quite surprising, although they use the same database Google does, there doesn't seem to be any information on the internet on Falun Gong written with Latin characters, which I think is not correct. Maybe Amnesty or some other human rights groups might have published something on that problem in English. And this is rather cute. In the back you still see something from the search about Falun Gong, but now the user tried a different keyword, Taiwanese independence, and we get this alert box, and obviously it was reset. What's also interesting is you get the official Falun Gong websites here on Google, because yeah, maybe it's I don't know. Maybe it's because of activities of the sun or whatever. Because at that time of the year, they decided not to censor Google, so you could get the international database. And so here we have all everything that you would find in our version of Google as well. But when he tried Taiwanese independence, he suddenly got this alert box. And then my favorite slide comes in, where we had to go through the installation of the network sniffer. What happened? Well, this is not your usual HTTP request, because you can see that there's some SYN packet being sent, and then it gets acknowledgement, but then although the browser seems to send SYN packets, all it gets is a reset. And this reset seems to come from Google, but I somehow doubt it. I think this is the effect of the Chinese internet censorship infrastructure. When they find the keyword, they simply reset your connection. This is much better than it was a few months ago, because a few months ago, if you tried something like that, your IP would be banned. And well, my friend went to a lot of trouble because I asked him to test all this, these keywords, and it somehow made his internet experience a bit less enjoyable. But, well, the ban tends to go away after some time, usually half an hour, maybe the next day. And in some cases, after the next reconnect. I think it's not that they want to show you that you did something illegal. They just want to show you that they are there and they know what you're doing. Okay, you have to keep several things in mind that I kept thinking about when preparing this talk. It seems that the censorship in China seems to focus on the World Wide Web, on HTTP traffic. But as I said before, it is very probable that there are also email surveillance. You also have to keep in mind that most Chinese people don't own a personal PC. And especially young people go to Wangba, internet cafe. This is just fascinating. The first character means network, and the other character is, it is modeled after the Western word bar, but because of the R problem, so they left the R out, so Wang Bar, that's the word for internet cafe in Chinese. And of course, if you access the internet through such a place dominantly, this adds another level of social control. You might have read about shutting down of several internet cafes in China. And, you can imagine what happens to you if you tried any of these tricks using all these forbidden keywords in a rather public place like an internet cafe all the time. Someone eventually will notice and you will be in trouble. They don't only use the censorship on the network layer, but also on the physical layer. And in my opinion, this is much more effective because it's a lot easier to physically access people and harass them and throw them out than to think about cute things that you could do with internet protocols, because eventually geeks will find a way around it. Which is what I'm going to tell you now. You could use different search engines if you have the feeling that the search that you just used in China doesn't give you the right answer. What we found out is google.de doesn't seem to be banned. As for now, maybe this will change after this talk will go online, I don't know. And but you have to be careful. Sometimes it's really bizarre. For instance, I would have betted that AltaVista, because it's the forgotten search engine of the internet. We all used to use it, but nowadays no one uses it anymore. I thought they would have forgotten about that, but actually it's banned on the highest level. The IP is banned, and you also get wrong DNS answers. It's bizarre sometimes. You can also use the Coral proxy from the University of New York, I think. Just append nyud.net :8090 to your URL, or there's also a handy Mozilla plugin for that. And because that was a big thing on the Chinese blog scene, I expect that to go away in a few days or weeks at least, because it works so flawlessly at the moment, and this is suspicious in a lot of ways. And there's also a circumvention for geeks, where we have special presentations on this Congress. You all know about the anonymizing Tor, the Onion Router, I think that's the correct acronym. And you could use the Java Anon proxy, you could use weird things with tunneling, but frankly, none of these options, I didn't feel like recommending any of these options to my friend who, well, barely knows his way around the internet and knows how to use Microsoft Windows, but I think if I said, yeah, well, you have to install Tor and use Java Anon proxy and blah, 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 and then it will route it magically, blah, 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 it would not have gotten us very far. And this is also something that you should keep in mind when talking about circumventing censorship. There's always a way for us geeks to circumvent it, and it's usually the first way. Whenever a new censorship circumvention tool pops up, it usually works. But it will be just too hard for normal people to use, and especially when you have a setup like no own PC, and you use the internet cafe, then, well, it just wouldn't work. And I think the answer to the question, will geeks save the world, is clearly no. To most people in China, the internet is still irrelevant. And a new tendency that is very alarming to me, at least, is the widespread, massive anti-Americanism that has to do with the foreign policy of the Bush administration. And it is actually a backlash. It created a backlash for those that tend to favor Western concepts of liberty and democracy. Nowadays, you have a lot of young people in China that say something along the lines of, well, I like my government better. We don't want a democracy like they have in the US. It's just not the thing for us. And I find that very alarming, because I believe values like human rights, democracy, liberty, they should be universal. And although maybe we have lost the US as a role model for exporting democracy to other countries, we shouldn't stop the fight for making the world better. Well, that's the end of my talk, and I would really appreciate if you had any comments on that, and if you would tell me what you think, what we should do with the whole situation. Thank you. Thank you.
One question about Hong Kong. Hong Kong is also China, and is very open.
I should have said that at the beginning. All the data I collected, it only applies to the Chinese mainland, and it doesn't apply to the special administration areas like Hong Kong and Macau, mainly because the situation is completely different there. Well, as far as I know, in Hong Kong, there are ISPs that use the censorship infrastructure, but you could also choose an ISP that doesn't. But to be completely frank, I don't know anything about Hong Kong and Macau, and I have not collected any data on that.
And do you have any information what happens if you use some encrypted protocols? And is this monitored? Does this have any following effects on you?
I have not noticed anything like that. It's not like they ban HTTPS traffic. They need it for the e-commerce, which is also a big thing in China. And there is no clear word that suggests an anti-cryptography politics from the government of China. this is usually what first comes to the mind of technical geeks. Oh, I guess they will ban all the cryptography as well. But, well, I have no data that suggests that. They seem to ignore it, and maybe this is one of the paradox effects of how they do internet censorship. Someone told me just before I started that he had problems with connecting to his computers using SSH, and maybe they did something with the SSH keys. That was his theory, and I can just repeat this story, and I have not researched into that.
Well, hello. I have a friend of mine who's in China. He's in Xi'an, and he connects to my computer in Holland using SSH. And he only has problems in the evening when the data traffic is very busy. But then after the internet peak time, he has no problems connecting using port 22. Works lovely. No problem.
Could you take the microphone?
Have you tried to fingerprint some of the routers that they use for this filtering system? Have you tried to fingerprint some of the routers they use for the filtering?
Some of the routers? I haven't, but there are people who did, and I just omitted it. But if you're an expert on that, and maybe if you think we could work together on that, I would be very interested. Maybe we could continue that. I would really appreciate more input if you know more about specific routers, and I would like to know what company is responsible for that.
Question. Because of routers, have you ever had the chance to test Huawei network equipment? Huawei is the Chinese Cisco competitor. Because at our university, we had the chance to test a router of Huawei, and we had some very strange problems with DNS requests.
Oh.
They were sometimes, we don't know exactly what's happening with them, but sometimes they were really slow, other times they worked normally.
Yeah.
Perhaps they are routing them that not in
familiar.
The hardware, but in software or something else. We don't know exactly.
Maybe it's just bad engineering. Yeah. I think that's too optimistic. That's fascinating. I have not tried this routers, mainly because I don't have a sponsor who sends me in routers to test and play with. But that's fascinating. Maybe you could tell me more about it later. Okay, I think I used all my time. Thank you. It was nice talking to you. Goodbye.